WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are tuned in to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. We have a full studio already. People are clamoring to get on the microphone and talk. Joining me, early edition, he's going to be part of the 7 o'clock conversation, but he occasionally will put on the co-host hat. We're talking about Mr. Mark Rocheteau, who is from Massasoit Community College. He wears many hats as well. Your title is now, it's changed at Massasoit, right?
I am the coordinator of the Buckley Performing Arts Center.
Right. They removed that nasty word called interim.
Congratulations.
He has been the coordinator over there for, regardless of what the title was, is he's the gentleman who does a little bit of everything over there.
It's a great opportunity. I'm fortunate and blessed to work over at Massasoit with some great people. I've been there for 21 years now. So,
wow.
Yeah, good times.
And it doesn't get old, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I'm looking at generations of students that we've had progress through from yourself to Alex, who's with us tonight. Who we'll chat with later on, and that's what it's all about, you know, is having students come through and giving them the helping hand to do better and chase their dreams. And I think we do that quite well at the Fine Arts Building, whether it's theater, television, or radio.
Very nice. And you are here. You are the 7 o'clock segment.
I'm feeling 7 o'clock. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Go bring on what 7 o'clock is about, please.
Well, 7 o'clock, we will be talking about our upcoming production of The Importance of Being Earnest, which will be an outdoor theatrical event at Massasoit this coming weekend. And we also have some auditions for a Christmas World War II radio play that you might yourself be interested in, Mr. Tachi.
Okay. So outdoors, are you like missing the times that you used to do theater down in on the Plymouth waterfront? Or
well, you know, it's funny you say that because it is quite reminiscent. However, when we looked back at the end of the summer, relighting the fires, shall we say, everyone being COVID weary,
sure,
we thought it best to do this production outdoors. We have a very talented technical director, Mr. Nathan Fogg, who came up with the idea, and it was more than a gem because of the fact that it gave us the ability to just avoid whichever direction COVID was going in, you know, because we're outside. So and the space is quaint. And I think that the patrons, when they come, will be quite happy with what we've done.
Mr. Fogg is quite the genius when it comes to theater and French doors and anything like that. He is synonymous with any of those things. And so he does a great job, and I've been privileged to watch many of the shows that he has put forth, and even found myself some odd reason on stage.
It'll happen if you stay around long enough, Kevin.
Yeah, just don't stay longer than 5 minutes. I'll have you up on stage reading lines. We also have State Representative Dave DeCoste. He is here for the State House Report. And Dave, well, I think the two things on the top of my wish list for us to talk about is I know that there was a motorcycle run yesterday. I only knew about it because as I was leaving church, They were driving down the road. There was the, oddly enough, there were people who were on the sides of the road, and they had the flags and the blue stripes. And then I found myself in Hanover. I don't know why, but I was. And as I drove by, I saw you there on the side of the road with a bunch of people who were out standing waiting for these, you know, the motorcycle run to come through Hanover, which it actually did as I was passed by. I go, hey, that's Dave. And about 5 seconds later, this guy comes with a bunch of motorcycles.
Back to blue. Yeah, we had a black back to blue rally, and it worked out really good. It's kind of unique, had a good turnout, and, you know, raised a little money. It's always superb, you know, really superb. We enjoyed it. Kinda, and you could not have had better weather than that. Could not have had better weather.
Time for us to find out. We're going to talk about that and much more with State Rep Dave DeCoste, as well as Mary Ann from our local pharmacist. Give me my flu shot. That and more. We'll tease the rest of it in just a second. But time for us to find out what's happening out on the highways and byways one final time this evening. Mr. Rochdale, who is it being brought to us by?
Being brought to us by Brennan's Smoke Shop, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Rainham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, Weymouth, and now in Hudson, New Hampshire, for all your tax-free tobacco products.
And I believe we'll turn it over to Lisa DeMilo for the report.
Well, thanks, Kevin. There's heavy volume leaving the city on the expressway southbound from Mass Ave to the on-ramp from Freeport Street. Then you're slow from East Milton Square to the split. Northbound's inching along from the Braintree split to Morrissey Boulevard. Route 3 North is crowded from the Bergen Parkway into the Braintree split. 93 North is tied up from Route 37 to the split. And Route 24 South is good. This report is sponsored by UPSJobs.com. UPS is hiring warehouse workers near you. Apply at UPSJobs.com/shift. That's UPSJobs.com/shift. Make the shift, make a difference. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
Well, looky there, grave digger digging a grave. Cave in. Ooh, Tori, the tree guy. Hope that tree doesn't fall in the wrong direction today. Sometimes I just like to sit on the hurricane barrier in New Bedford and watch the boats go out to sea. Fishermen. They're too easy. What's this? Oh, Brennan's Smoke Shop. 10 locations across the South Shore and South Coast, one on the border of New Hampshire. Who's responsible for these? Where is he? Jeffrey, where are you? Let's see. Major supplier of lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema, not to mention cardiopulmonary. Well, I'm sure in this day and age, a lot of people wish this guy was gone. Well, I think he's great. See you next Halloween, Jeffrey.
Brennan's Smoke Shop. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Also worth noting, you can find our podcast here on the homepage of 95.9 WATD and just search under our many, many podcasts. Joining us right now is State Representative Dave DeCoste, representing the 5th Plymouth District. We, in a few minutes, are going to find out if there's going to be any modifications to that district. We'll talk about redistricting, but let's talk a little bit about the back to blue. When did this all come about?
Well, I think this had to do with, unfortunately, the genesis was, when we had the attacks on the police officers, specifically Officer Chesney and Officer Gannon. We had, there was a movement, and it was really a grassroots movement across the political spectrum to show, police that they had our support. And, there have been some legitimate concerns in other areas of the country in terms of policemen either individually making some bad decisions or larger policies that basically may or may not be fair. But I think in this area of the country, we do not have that. And we had, in a couple of cases, basically police officers, certainly cases, Officer Gannon, Officer Chesney, being executed. And that we wanted to show support for the families specifically, but also for the profession. So I think that was the genesis of the start, you know, and it manifests itself in all sorts of ways, and one of them was to have everyone likes to get on their motorcycle and ride, so that's a great excuse and a good cause, and they also raise some money, for a number of funds that support police officers and their families, you know.
Okay. Well, again, I wanted to make sure they brought it to light. I saw you out there, and I wanted to connect the dots, and that was something we can mention.
We had a good time, and a lot of good people from Hanover and other places turned out. But, of course, it went through a half dozen towns.
Sure.
So,
yeah. Sure. So there's a word that we are going to see some redistricting when it comes to the legislative lines, whether it's the state senator or state representative. And what's your take on what's happening, and how is it going to affect you as an elected affected in the constituent base that you have?
Well, we before I used to say Norwell, Hanover, and Rockland. Now I'm going to say most of Norwell, all of Hanover, all of Rockland, and one precinct in Hanson. So that's fine. We've already been down there to take a look at a lot of people we knew anyway, we've already been down there, and we'll probably have our first event down there within the next 2 weeks. So Hanson GOP, and yeah, but we've got a lot of folks from Norwell and Hanover and Rockland grew up, and I live in Hanson now. My sister lives in Hanson, so I'll be representing her, or I'll try to be, and a whole lot of good organizations down in Hanson, and we'll be a part of that. I'm a member of the Hanson Rod and Gun Club, and we'll actually have this will be another story, but we're actually looking to try to sponsor the Girl Scouts for their rifle and shotgun merit badges down there. So we'll have all four towns, and we'll be sponsoring them down there in the Hanson Rod and Gun Club if we can do it.
So how does it work? So where does that one precinct in Norwell, where does that go? And who's losing the precinct?
Well, I'm losing a precinct. That's interesting. Every guy in here and gal from the South Shore has gained and lost. I don't know of anybody who's precincts are identical. But Precinct 3 in Norwell, which is up towards the east, Mount Blue Street and part of Main Street, and basically up towards Situate, will go to Patrick Carney. Patrick Carney has lost a little precinct in Marshfield to Josh Cutler.
Okay.
But he's also picked up a precinct in all of his hometown of Situate. So Joan Moschino gave that up, but she picked up a precinct in Hingham, which gives her all of Hingham. So everything kind of got shifted around by one. It had to do with population growth. My precinct, as it so happened, was almost perfect within less than 100 votes of 40,000, or 0.11%. But everything around us had to change. Josh was a little low. Pat Carney was a little low. Joan was a little low. So we kind of everything got shifted around. And the rule is it's 40-some-odd thousand dollars plus or minus 5%. And in Brockton, you have a brand new district in the center of Brockton. I'll let Rep Cassidy or Senator Brady talk about that.
Yeah.
But but everyone was worked around that. Because of population growth, they were able to do an entirely new district in the Brockton area.
So the precinct you gain is from Rep Cutler,
right? Right, Josh. Josh and I will now share Hanson, but he and I get along wonderful on a whole host of issues. Unlike our folks in other areas, where I won't name, but their initials are DC. Okay, we can get along regardless of what party we have. As a matter of fact, I just came this afternoon. We had a meeting with Representative Cutler and the Dr. Hickey down at South Shore VOTEC.
Tom Hickey, yep.
Yep, we're going to do some real advocating because he wants to expand his physical plant. And we're going to talk to the Mass School Building Authority and try to get him some money to do that this time around. I think we're going to be successful.
Yeah, you're talking about a trade school.
Right.
That has actually there are two different buildings. I would say one building has been, 50 years. The other one's a little bit newer, but they've done a great job to at least... A lot of communities, when the building reaches 50, they're looking to tear it, raise it, and then rebuild. Mark, did you have a question?
I was just wondering, Representative, in regards to the process, is there a redistricting committee, or is this with all of the collective House that goes at the redistricting process? I can say it, I promise.
Good question. By the way, I should stay at the beginning. They're quite fair. This is not a partisan. They take into account, and if there are concerns, they do their best to address them. But the bottom line is, yep, there's a committee, and it was Representative Mike Moran from Brighton, mm-hmm. and Representative Paul Frost from the Republicans from the western part of the state. He sat in, and they worked together. And they really do work with, they try to take some concerns. And in this case, there were, an enormous amount of growth in areas. Some areas they expected, the cities. And in some areas was kind of surprised. Representative Fernandez down, he's got basically got Crayville Beach and the whole area down there. And the islands, he was up, I believe he was grew 17%.
Wow,
and
really?
Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard, and that southern area along the Cape, mm-hmm. And so they had to move some population out because the goal is, again, about 40,000 plus or minus 5%. Mm-hmm. So it's a very fair process, and nobody likes to break up their hometown. I did not like to lose a precinct in Norwell. But you know what? I think I'm not in the campaign mode yet, but I think I do a good, solid job representing my three towns, and I think I'll do a good job representing Precinct 1 in Hanson. And, anybody from Precinct 3 in Norwell calls up, we still love you and not going to treat anybody different from Norwell, regardless of where they're from.
But does this change your strategy when it comes to your reelection campaign?
Well, the precinct in Hanson is one of the most conservative in the state, so I think I'll be quite welcome there. We've already talked to the Republicans down there, and they do quite well. The sheriff does quite well. The DA does quite well. Senator Brown and Governor Baker both received well over 67% of the vote, or 68. So I think we'll do quite well.
So if anything, this is a bonus for you. This could help in the long run.
It might help in the long run, but we always treat, as you've heard me say, we've always assume we're 20 votes behind, and right up until the first Tuesday at 8 p.m. of November next year, we'll assume we're 20 votes behind, and we'll act accordingly. So I do want to say, if I might, Kevin, I wanted to thank you, because I give you a bit of bookkeeping work every year.
You do.
I've made a pledge to return all my pay raise, and I have Kevin and Christine James verified it, so that's the gentlemen here are looking at me and I'm handing over my bank statements. There aren't any bribes in there.
I'm perusing them as you speak.
But he takes a look at a spreadsheet we provide him and makes sure that I do indeed give everything that we... And we have great, everything from the Friendship Home and Cardinal Cushing to all the Scouts, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts in all four towns. And, if somebody writes to me and says they're doing a Pan Mass Challenge.
Yep.
Go. We write to them always support everything. The Nyman Memorial Golf Scholarship, we just wrote a check to, and we're happy to do that because that does a great job providing scholarships to the area. So just terrific.
So therein lies
the
question.
Thank you, by the way. Yes.
That was my segue, but you kind of pounced on it.
I hijacked it.
Yeah, hijacked it, but that's okay. And again, you're going to find out tonight there's going to be a couple times that we're going to be talking about stuff that there's radio is not a visual medium. You're just going to have to use the theater of the mind to kind of play along with this. But I have been handed several envelopes that have dates on them that are from a local banking institute.
Yeah.
And I was just looking through a couple of them where there are debits and credits. Why do this? Why do you feel a need to give this money? Give the money as a part of a pay raise that was given to you, all of your colleagues in the legislature. Why do you feel a need to do this? And this isn't the first year you've done this. This isn't a stunt. You did it last year as well. Why?
I've done it every year. Well, I'm not the only one. To the credit, Senator Keenan, who works with me out of Rockland, all the way down to Rockland, and Senator O'Connor does it as well. I just I think at this point in these times, I did not join, sign up. I should say, use a military term, but I did not run to get for financial gain. And the legislature has given themselves pretty hefty pay raises during a time when a lot of people are just trying to survive. And you know what? I'm retired from the Army. I can afford to, you know, return it. And I almost signed up so that they just didn't give me the raise. But I said, you know, if they keep it, they're just going to spend it on something else. So I might as well spend it on things down here. And as I said, there's an awful lot of good stuff to do. I left out the food banks and the St. Vincent de Paul Society. And I should put a good word in for them, particularly the folks at the St. Mary's and St. Helens, and also Holy Family St. Vincent de Paul Society. When I need relief quick, I call over there, and that day they will have food over to whoever needs it. By the way, regardless of again, no question about religion or any type of, and even outside the district, they will help people, and number of organizations like that, the Rotary. I should say again, they're another one. We rely on them heavily for good. The Rotary is just an organization. In my case, we join up, and it's just primarily a bunch of older guys, many business people, and they sit around, have dinner, occasionally insult each other, and do a lot of good things. So,
and if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with State Representative Dave DeCoste, and he's talking a little bit about giving back. The pay raises that the legislature, some of the legislature voted themselves recently, I want to say, a year ago.
Yep.
And I think they've done it in successive early stages of the legislative session. Mm. And this is, Joe, you had mentioned many years back that you want to give this back.
No pension or pay raise. So the pension plan I don't participate in, only because I won't get into it. Someday might make a good series just to talk about with the state treasurer, but I'll tell you what, we have very generous pension benefits. Again, in an atmosphere where the average person, I know you probably have a super pension out of WATD.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
oh.
But in many cases, folks are now waiting to 68 years old to retire, all right? And the state pension would allow me, if I participated it, to retire in 10 years. So it's awfully generous. And by the way, I retire in 10 years with a Cadillac health plan for the rest of my life. So I don't participate in it.
Well, definitely good to see that at least someone is understanding what it means as far as taxpayer dollars and giving back. Not everybody sees this, and not everybody, it's to each his own. But I think it should be warranted. If you are going to get raised, you should have something to show for it. We just have a couple of minutes left here. Now, there's two different directions I can go. I can ask you about the passing of Colin Powell, the former Secretary of State, who passed. They say COVID, but there's also a cancer battle there. Or I can allow you to serve one up, something that you may be, that's in the works that maybe you haven't discussed or mentioned, but something that's been percolating in your office for the past week or two that maybe you want to talk about for the remaining time.
Well, we can do both. I served under General Powell when I was in the Army, and he was, by the way, had a reputation of being a relatively nice general, and that is not always the case, but he had a reputation for being a good guy to work for, and he was your standard Army general, you know, infantry, Army, Ranger, you know, the very successful, great commander, and a role model for many of us. So I had a number of them, but he was certainly a guy you would look at. And, you know, I think, you know, he was identified by President Reagan and later President Bush for great things, and he went on to great things. So, you know, God bless him. And he dedicated a lot for his country and really excelled in his profession and came, by the way, if you read his biography, from very modest circumstances. So truly an American success story as well. We have a number of good things, and I guess I kind of stole my thunder at the beginning, but we're doing a lot of work for local schools, and one of them, I think, is the VOTEC. And the VOTEC is kind of tricky because it happens to be in my district, but the majority of the kids who go there are from Abington and Rockland. So yep. To that you know, to that, I put, we work with Senator Moran, Senator O'Connor, Senator Brady, who am I, Senator Keenan, and then we also work with Allison Sullivan and Joe Moschino, Pat Kearney, Josh Cutler, myself, Jerry Cassett. We all work together.
Right.
And Matt Murator, because every now and then, if you have a stray slot and you're down at Plymouth, you can occasionally come up. So it's just not our towns. And what a great institution. So hopefully this December I'll be back here chatting with you, or maybe chatting you know, in a morning segment here or on our own show Wednesday, and we'll report that, you know,
JV team,
JV team. There you go.
And Jared's not a stranger to Monday Night Talk.
That's why I came.
He's
here
a repeat offender, as I've called him.
Just on that, just because I just came from a time for him, just so we just, that's why he was late. But the, or just on time, I guess. But the bottom line is, I, God willing, I think we will have some good news to report out of the VOTEC and the river. We'll talk about the river sometime, but we got kind of got a break cut on the river, and maybe the River Marsh 40B, which is a dreadful idea. We'll be put to bed, and we will be able to concentrate on good housing projects, like, for instance, the one they're going to do in Holy Family in Rockland, or the one, you know, that we have planned in, well, they're working on and completed the same types in our housing authorities, and getting more more money for them. So a lot of good things coming.
And if folks want to reach out to you, if they're in your newly reconstituted district, most of Noel, Rockland, yeah, Hanover, and just a smidge of Hanson.
How can, well, they, one-third of Hanson, one-third.
But I call it a smidge. Smidge. Just my thing. well, how can they get? How can they reach out?
Best way is probably just email david.decost, david.decost, D-E-C-O-S-T-E, at mahouse.gov.
He is Dave DeCoste, state representative serving the 5th, the newly redistricted 5th Plymouth District. And we're going to step aside when we come back. In fact, flu season. Marianne's here to once again provide the flu shot. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it. You tuned in to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATV.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATV.
McWiggin's Pub is an upscale Irish pub with all the class of a Boston pub. The menu offers favorites like steak tips, fish and chips, meatloaf, as well as burgers, sandwiches, and pizza. The relaxed, comfortable atmosphere at McGuigan's makes it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize with family and friends. New hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 4 to close, Friday through Sunday, 11:30 to close. McGuigan's Pub is at 546 Washington Street in Whitman, with the full menu available at McGuigan'sPub.com.
Are you worried about your drinking?
Or is someone else worried about your drinking?
Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
There is no shame in living with a disease called alcoholism.
Regardless of your age, employment, or any other circumstances in your life, you deserve help from other individuals who understand what you are going through. Alcoholics Anonymous is here for you 24/7 at AA.org. Find online meetings at AAboston.org.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Okay. That was a quick break. And now we have Marianne Schrichten. She is a local pharmacist. And when we talk about repeat offenders, she's sharing the meme of me that I posed. I posed for, Kevin.
I do believe that was candid.
The buildup is anticlimactic because I'm good with. Why would I invite you in for this kind of torment?
Sadomasochism? I don't know.
This is annual, correct?
It has been. We did take a break last year.
No, we did not. COVID. We did not. We did last year. Oh, no, maybe we did.
Ironically, there has been a time when you have given him the flu shot, and I was here for that broadcast.
Yes, I do remember that, yes.
So I want to say that was 2 or 3 years ago.
You know what might have happened? I may not have allowed you to administer. I did one last fall.
Oh, not here.
Not on air. And they didn't seek you out that at that time because we weren't. I was. We were. You know.
Remote.
Mm-hmm. Not so much we were remote, but we were kind of spread about. We were just kind of, you know, doing the COVID thing. So I didn't think it was a good idea, but I figured that we're kind of, you know, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And I said, why not? I think it's a good idea to get a flu shot. I, last year when I got the flu shot, I did not get the flu. I didn't get COVID. And I did not catch a cold. Now, did that have anything to do with having to wear a mask wherever I went? Maybe. And I was okay with that. I'm not about getting the sniffles or having to deal with any of the symptoms that you get when you get the flu. Nobody likes being sick. Nobody.
No.
And as I get older, like, it's not the same when you get sick when you're in your 20s, when you're a spry young guy like Mr. Alex Barros, who's sitting here right now. Like, you know, you get sick and it kind of bounces off. You don't get really, really sick. But as you get older, man, it settles in your bones. And
well, you brought up a good point, Kevin, about the wearing the mask. You know, last year we did see a significant drop in the flu. Mm. A big increase on the administration of flu shots last year, probably in part because we didn't have a COVID vaccine. But people need to realize that COVID is still out there. The symptoms are similar to the flu, and everyone still should be getting their flu shots. You know, it is predicted that we will see more flu this year because masks are not as frequently worn. And the germs will be out there floating around a little easier than they were last year. So very important to get your flu shot. And I'm glad that you had me in here to do that and to talk about the importance of getting a flu shot.
And if you wanted to also tease, though, I don't know if your pharmacy also is doing, I don't know if you're doing COVID or if you're doing boosters.
We're doing it all, baby. We're doing it all.
Are you really?
We are.
How is that going? Do you still have is it more now a mere trickle? Or are you still seeing a good flow of people who come and going, I got to get my first, I got to get my second, or hey, you know, it's been more than 6 months and I need the boost.
Yes, we got that. And I mean, we've got shingles shots and tetanus shots, pneumonia shots, you know, lots of shots being given. Wow. But yes, the booster for Pfizer right now is pretty popular. Still immunizing the, you know, under 18 crew. They're still coming in to get their, you know, second shots or sometimes first shot. I mean, kids with 12-year-old birthdays, they come in like a week after their birthday getting their first shot. So this is something that we're doing every day.
And do they seem like they're willing to take part in this, or is there kind of a reservation? Mom's kind of pushing, going, come on, let's go.
Honestly, the kids are not. I get more tears from adults than I do from kids.
Do you really?
I do. That is true.
Yeah,
that is absolutely.
I'm a new person. I mean, I'll turn it, like, when you give me the I'm going to turn away because that's what I do, but I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Are we doing this?
What, do you want to do it right now, or do you want to do...
No,
we need some build-up here.
So.
Any questions? Mark, do you have any Do you have any questions?
So you're expecting a tick-up in the application of flu shots this year?
There's been a decrease this year from last year. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it's because people think they're safe. Because there wasn't a lot of flu last year, but there is going to be, or it's predicted to be, a pretty good flu season this year because of, again, the mask wearing is decreased.
Right.
So, and hopefully people will now get the message and start, you know, getting the flu shot. We're down on shots from last year,
mm-hmm.
You know, just at our pharmacy, but across the whole country, numbers are down.
You know, I didn't realize you mentioned the list of the potential shots you could get. I did not know that there was a shot for pneumonia.
Yes, there are two shots for pneumonia. One's reserved for 65-year-old and beyond.
Like plus,
they're both pneumococcal. Mm-hmm. And then the other is for anyone over 18 that may be at risk for pneumonia, diabetics, mm-hmm. people with heart disease, mm-hmm. obesity, smokers, anybody in that category should have a pneumonia vaccine.
Okay.
So.
What are you looking at me for?
I'm just looking because you're the host.
I don't smoke. Okay. Just making sure. What about as far as you talk about flu shots being down? Is there going to be any word as to with what you do and what you provide? That we're still watching to see if we're going to see an uptick in COVID. Is this something that your industry feels that we're going to probably, it's with us like colds and the flu?
COVID, I don't think you'll ever see COVID go away.
Really?
I think a COVID vaccine is going to be like your flu shot.
Really?
Yes. I mean, vaccines, they're nasty. They change. you know, I'm not an expert per se. However, you know, from what I've read and just from historically with other other viruses, they don't generally leave.
So do you think this will become an annual shot for COVID?
I wouldn't be surprised. And okay. Then there's been talk about, you know, trying to make a vaccine of flu and COVID combined, whether or not, you know, we may or may not see that, you mm-hmm. know, who knows when, but I've sure. heard that there is talk of that trying to be in development. So
that could be definitely interesting. But I think of a few years back when we were dealing with the swine flu, H1N1. Remember those fun times?
Yes.
And we thought, oh, my God, we're going to have swine flu 2, that petered out. There's no chance that this could just peter out.
Hey, maybe it can. Hopefully. That would be awesome. That would be great. That would be fantastic. I would love that.
I mean, we haven't heard anything beyond the Delta variant at this particular time, right? Isn't it just kind of...
Oh, no. I think there was a couple of the variants, but I think they were like in other areas. Like I think South America was hit with something like a Lambda, which was after Delta, I think. But I, as far as our general population here in America, I think it was Delta.
Okay. I haven't let Alex talk yet because Alex was restricted to the 7 p.m., but I may allow... He seems as though he might have a question.
I actually do. I'm just curious if there are things that we can be looking out for when somebody has those symptoms where it could be the flu or it could be COVID. Are there specific markers or things that we should be looking at?
Well, both COVID and the flu, you're going to have a fever. You're going to have aches, possibly, you know, congestion, whether it be head congestion, chest congestion. You know, without a test, you may not know which, if either, you actually have. So why not protect yourself and be vaccinated?
Mm-hmm.
So,
Mr. Rushto, would you like to do the play-by-play of as we? I will now take this flu test.
Thank you, Kevin.
Do you have the syringe prepared?
I do.
Kevin has his right sleeve already rolled up.
And I made the mistake of wearing a long sleeve. I didn't wear a T-shirt.
Getting the traditional wipe down with the sanitary swab.
Right. She promised me that.
And I may note that Kevin has a tattoo on this right arm.
She's
going to
aim right for the middle of it. Right. I think she did that last time too, where she just popped it right in the middle.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's done.
It's done. So now,
Band-Aid applied.
Now, yeah. Rather fast with the Band-Aid.
I am.
Is there a particular brand you go for?
No. Non-latex.
So, now that I have done this, what do I watch for over the next 12 to 24 to 36 hours?
Basically, a sore arm is all you should experience. You know, and even then, you got a lot of muscle going on there. So move the muscle around, get it all in there.
Yeah.
And you should
If I was like 32,
fine.
You might be talking muscle. I'm kind of a... I'm over the 50 speed bump. Now it's kind of turned into something else that I don't like to talk about.
Wow.
But it is what it is. So I won't have to worry about any kind other than maybe my arm being a little sore, which is fine.
Yeah. I mean, some people feel, you know, a little tired the next day, but generally speaking, most people take it just fine.
How about cost? Is this something that insurance companies will readily cover?
Yes. I would say this year I have seen very little non-covered flu shots. And, you know, they're pretty much insurance companies have gotten on board that people get their flu shots at the pharmacy and their drug plans pay for it.
Now, as somebody who is a pharmacist, somebody who administers these, I mean, do you know what the ingredients of a flu shot is or what the ingredients of any particular shot that you or
I could read the ingredients, but off the top of my head, no, I do not.
Okay.
So I have to wear these things. So take, you know, it's written really small. Again, that 50 speed bump, things
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, once you get over the double nickels, it's kind of like, you know, everything's kind of going out of whack. You're mm-hmm. doing your best to kind of keep it all together until you hit 60 and then just kind of let it go.
But I do have a gift for you here because with your flu shot.
There's more?
If I'm allowed to. You know, plug my work establishment at Star Market in Marshfield.
Did they allow you?
Pharmacy.
They've been kind enough to allow you to come in and talk about this. Go ahead. Please.
So I'm going to give you a 10% coupon off a grocery order. Anybody that comes into any of our Osco pharmacies will receive that with any vaccine they get. Doesn't have to be a flu shot. Can be any of those vaccines that I mentioned.
Marianne, do we have to make an appointment to get our shots?
You do not have to make an appointment. You can make an appointment and go on Star Market or Shaws.com and make an appointment, but we take walk-ins every day.
Excellent.
Just saves you a few minutes when you get to the pharmacy. You don't have to fill that form out.
Mm-hmm.
You do it right online and we print it.
And is there a time of year? I mean, this would probably be the best time of year. Late October, November, December. When do you start seeing the shots go down? I mean, could you take one in January, February? People do.
Okay. People do. CDC recommends everyone be vaccinated by October 31st. Some people like to wait till November, December, or wait till they hear that the flu is out there. It does take about 3 weeks. So as far as I just gave you the shot today on the 18th of October, about 3 weeks for your body to build up the full immunity against the flu.
So I can't go mingling with folks who have the flu just yet.
You can, but you may catch the flu.
That's what I'm saying. This is, yes. I want to mingle with them and be like, I'm sick. You know, I might want to maintain my 6 to 10 foot distance and like you stay over there and do that.
A good idea.
That's not a bad thing, Mr. Rush.
You're
laughing. I mean, I still like this. I'm still trying to observe. You know, I've been out at events and. You know, people feel as though we're back to normal living. I'm still very cautious.
As you should be, my friend.
Anything we haven't touched upon? Anything you want to say as we get ready to wrap up our segment in a couple moments?
Like I said, I encourage people to be vaccinated, not just against the flu. If you haven't received a COVID-19 vaccine, it's not too late. Most pharmacies have, if not all three vaccines, at least two of them. You know, make an appointment, walk in, get it vaccinated. So get the vax, as they say.
I think the other thing I was going to ask you in regards to the flu, when does flu season officially begin? Do we have an official time of year? Is it now or is it a little...
I can tell you that I have friends in the medical in medical offices that I've spoken to, and this was actually a month ago, that they had, it was a pediatric office, one of my friends is a nurse, and they had already diagnosed children with the flu, and this was in September.
Mm-hmm.
So the flu is out there, prevalence not as much. December, January are the height flu months that you really start to see the flu. So that's why you get protected ahead of time, so you can build up that immunity.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you so much for yet again being ready to pop on in and provide me with my shot. It saved me time from going over there, but I still get to see my favorite pharmacist.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Now, does Star Market, they don't do the same thing? Do you have like a, they shop for you and then they deliver it?
We do. We actually have called Drive Up and Go, where you can, and I do it all the time. I work there. And I work an 11-hour day, so in the morning I put my grocery order.
It can be fantastic, depending on who's picking your groceries.
I have no complaints. I have my groceries ready for me when I get done with my shift. Or you can drive up in your car, you text a number, and they bring it out to your car.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's a great service.
Anybody else you've done that?
I have not.
Okay, so you're still doing it the old-fashioned way.
Well, my wife does that with Target. Where she'll put in an order.
Around my house, we call it Target. But go,
Target, yeah. But yeah, they have that same setup where it's a shop and go kind of thing, and she's done that many times over at Target.
Alex,
I've used Instacart during COVID, especially.
That can be fun. That during COVID, Instacart was kind of, it was like a game to see how well your Instacart shopper did.
He's
putting stuff back. Wait, what's he doing? What's she doing?
I live specifically with people who are immunocompromised, so I wanted to specifically get my groceries delivered just to, you know, minimize contact during quarantine.
As do I. My missus is immunocompromised as well, and she recently got her booster via your pharmacy.
I can't say, but if you're telling me, then I guess she did.
I'm telling you. Yes. I'm not asking you. Telling you.
Okay. That's excellent. I did not see her, but that's excellent.
Okay. I know she actually did feel guilty that she didn't see you.
That's okay.
Last question I will ask you. So I know it's been more than 6 months for me, but I got Moderna.
Correct, as did I.
Okay.
And I'm waiting.
So I'm still waiting for the boost?
We are waiting.
Why can't I just do
So I have a story.
I like stories.
I gave a flu shot to a young lady, a 37-year-old woman, completely healthy. Okay. And she told me that she was in the Moderna drug study, or she is in the Moderna drug study, and received her vaccine in May of 2020. Ooh. Because she's in the study. And she's been monitored every 6 weeks since then, checking her blood, making sure she's been okay. And she had just received her third dose in the middle of September, almost 18 months after her first dose, because her immunity had not begun to wane until then. So, that being said, the reason why that Moderna hasn't probably been approved is because they're defining that the efficacy is maybe a little bit better as far as, you know, than the Pfizer, as far as its longevity. So, but it is coming. Okay. It was approved. It was talk last week, you know, but don't worry. We'll take care of you, Kevin.
Thanks.
Next time I want a Band-Aid with like a smiley sticker or something. Can we arrange that?
I will definitely. Right. I will. Thank yes. Absolutely.
Mary Ann, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Again, my pleasure.
And we're going to step aside. That does it for the first hour of Monday Night Talk. When I come back, I promise, I swear, more Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WAETD. Don't go anywhere.
WATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub is an upscale Irish pub with all the class of a Boston pub. The menu offers favorites like steak tips, fish and chips, meatloaf, as well as burgers, sandwiches, and pizza. The relaxed, comfortable atmosphere at McGuigan's makes it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize with family and friends. New hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 4 to close, Friday through Sunday, 11:30 to close. McGuigan's Pub is at 546 Washington Street in Whitman, with the full menu available at McGuigan'sPub.com.
Each year, about 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced Cancer Care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical Faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
Hey! This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we're back for hour number 2 of Monday Night Talk. I believe one of my guests is waiting for him to arrive. I don't know, he stepped out of the room for half a second. Is he down the hall? There he is. Where'd you go? Oh, okay. That you were marveling at some of the stuff. I know you fancy the Elvis statue downstairs. I didn't know if you were downstairs doing selfies with it or something.
You caught me red-handed.
I caught you red-handed. And we got Mark Rashto with the Massasoit Community College Theater. Theater with a R-E. And we have Mr. Alex Barros, who is a media student with the Schwa. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you for having us, Kevin.
Formally saying welcome. Other than just throwing you into the griddle.
Into the fray.
Into the fray. Just a tease, we have coming up at 7:30, Tina Cardoso. Tina is not only an at-large city councilor, but she's also a candidate for mayor, as she will be squaring off in November against the incumbent Robert Sullivan. I believe we are also going to be doing a political forum on this Radidio station come October 27th. It's a Wednesday night. And stay tuned. I'm sure we'll have the promos out. I I'm sure that I think it's between 8 and 9 o'clock when we'll do that. But, again, stay tuned for the radio station promos. I'm sure we'll play them quite often to apprise you of the forum as the city of Brockton heads out to decide the folks who are going to serve them for the next 2 years, starting in January. So how are things over at the community college? A lot going on over there?
Yeah, we're getting the fires lit again, as you would say, post-COVID. Massasoit is alive and well, and we're looking forward to moving forward with the you know, the post-COVID days, hopefully. And the theater company is presenting this coming weekend for the first time in a year and 7 months was the last time that we were on the stage at Massasoit when we closed Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, right.
Which was right before the shutdown and for COVID. So,
did that show win some awards?
That show did win some awards, actually. Now you're stretching. We participate in the Eastern Massachusetts Association of Community Theaters,
acronym known as
EMAC.
Thanks.
And they have an award system, but because of what happened with COVID, it was such a calamity. There was a cry for fairness. So what they did is they kind of gave honorable mention to folks, and in their categories, kind of similar thing, you know, like the Tonys, where best actor, best director, best set design, all that fun stuff. Uh-huh. We actually landed 17 out of 21. Honorable mentions, and they actually had to create one particular category of special effects because we had this really incredible projectionist, a good friend of mine, Phil Grenier, landed some pretty hot projections during Beauty and the Beast, and made basically for onstage animation, and that kind of wowed them, and we were able to garnish a special effects award, if you will. So, yeah, good times, always.
This isn't the first time, though, that Massasoit has done such a thing. Wasn't there Wizard of Oz? Didn't you do some special uber-duber stuff?
We did some animation with the tornado and the...
I don't pay attention.
Yeah, and the house spinning and whatnot. Yeah. But we have been participating in EMAC, I want to say, for the last 4 years or so, 3 or 4 years. And our rankings we've shown up a few times, and more specifically, back when we did Laramie Project, the Massasoit Theater Company Student Ensemble did Laramie Project and garnished some nominations for that as well, and that kind of lit the fire.
And what role does Mr. Alex have in said production or said theater company?
So Alex is our assistant stage manager for The Importance of Being Earnest, which is going to go up this Friday, 7 p.m. show, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Uh-huh. We have three shows. And Alex is one of our kind of our all-star students that is making his way. And he has impressed many and all who he has worked with.
Well, thank
and
you.
We're happy to have him along.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here.
He seems very, very cordial, very, very, how can I say it? Like if he walks in the room, you know he's in the room. Does that make sense?
Yeah. He's very on point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, the questions he was asking. I mean, normally if I just, someone just, hey, ask a question, he might fumble. You're right there.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's part of being a media arts student, you know. It's
so what field would you want to go into as a media arts?
That's a really fantastic question, and I've been trying to be sort of a jack of all trades, where I do a little bit of video, a little bit of streaming, a little bit of music, you know, just kind of all across the board. This is actually my first experience with radio, so it's really amazing.
Yeah, once it bites you, man.
But I thought you did podcasts.
So right now I'm in a radio broadcasting class at Massasoit. Mm-hmm. Where I'm producing a podcast, which mm-hmm. is really amazing.
Wait. Yeah. Bob Bowers?
No, actually.
Oh. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, Lisa Z.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We love Lisa Z.
Yes, absolutely.
But, so what's your podcast about?
Yeah, so it's called Sail, Strange Albums I Love. I'm very much into sort of music that not a lot of people listen to, a lot of jazz fusion. As you can probably tell, I'm wearing a Steely Dan shirt here.
I'm a big fan of Steely. That's like... That would be something that myself and Mr. Rochito would have rocked back. Although me more so than him. But.
So what Alex does not know is that Steely Dan was actually our house music before the shutdown.
Oh,
and
right.
And we used to play... Steely Dan is one of those bands that you can put on.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody kind of will groove with it. It's non-offensive. Yeah. Everybody likes it as a pre-show or an after-show kind of music. So that was always our go-to for the house at Massasoit was... Steely Dan, and when we get back to in-person performing, it will be again. So good looking.
I know my family at home is laughing right now because they are not Steely Dan fans, and they're sick of me talking about Steely Dan. So the fact that you said that is absolutely hilarious.
So you're more of like a Donald Fagen fan, or
Fagen and Becker. I mean, I just bought their. They just came out with a couple new albums, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
My top listened to song right now on Apple Music is My Rival by Steely Dan.
Okay.
It's a great tune.
Yeah.
Yeah, big fan.
Wow. I'm amazed. Again, because not many, I don't want to say it's an acquired taste, because that's passe to say, but not everybody listens to Steely Dan. And then if you do, you're mixing it in with the Doobie Brothers, or you might be doing stuff, you might do like the horn stuff from the 70s, like Chicago, and that might pop in there. Then, you go any different way. I mean, myself, I have a very eclectic taste. I'm not afraid to say it, even though we're on terrestrial radio right now, I do subscribe to Sirius. I do.
Okay. Okay.
So if I want to pop on Pandora, if I want to listen to, whether it's the Steely Dan channel, I want to listen to the Doobie Brothers, or I've been caught listening to the 40s. I love that stuff. Big band stuff.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I grew up listening to Frank Sinatra. Yeah. There's a great, not to plug a different station, 99.1, they have a Strictly Sinatra.
Yeah, that's kind of our rival down the street.
So. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I grew up with that.
I go easy on that. But just say down the dial. Down the dial.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. And now, how many podcasts have you done? I mean, do you do it weekly? Do you do it monthly? What's your frequency?
Yeah, so I'm actually just getting started. It's something that, like I said, it's for my class, but also something that I'm really interested in pursuing outside of that. I have a thing that I call Good Feeling Media. It's kind of my brand that I put everything under. It's very sort of positive, spreading positivity. And so I'm doing Sail under that, as well as I stream on Twitch under that name.
Very nice.
So it's pretty cool. I just like to, spread positivity, spread new things, make people smile.
So how have you gotten involved with it? Are you somebody who wants to be on stage as well, or do you like being behind the scenes and assisting in that area?
I like both. I was at Southeastern Regional, was where I went to high school,
okay.
And I was in their production.
How odd! We were talking trade schools earlier, and again.
There it is.
That's where I started performing arts at Southeastern Regional. I was Aladdin, which was very, very fun. Cool. It was a great cast, great director, and so now coming into Massasoit, I started Massasoit during COVID, and I had a year of completely virtual school. And this year was finally being able to get in and, meet people and talk to people and get involved. And I knew that I really wanted to get into theater because I haven't done it since high school. And I graduated in 2017, so it's been a while. And it's really good to get back into it.
Now, is you somebody who is, you're part of this upcoming show, have you had a chance to, because I talk to Mark about it all the time, and he'll shine it all up and give us the details of a particular show. But I want to take it from somebody who's looking at it from the underpinnings. What have you noticed or recognized from the show as somebody who's the assistant stage manager?
Yeah, what do you mean in terms of just the
production itself? I'm sure you probably have seen we got dress rehearsals this week. Yeah.
Yes, actually, they're going on right now.
Week. Tech rehearsal, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but I'm sure you've been there for some of the different scenes. What has it been like?
We have a absolutely phenomenal cast. And it's really funny because I've been able to take some videos of the cast, and I sat in front of our two main leads with a camera, and I didn't tell them what I was doing. And I ended up with 10 minutes of absolutely hilarious footage of the two of them just bantering. The cast is just so... They have such wonderful chemistry. And being there, watching them perform on stage is just absolutely amazing. It's just really fun watching them play and explore and try new things. The show itself is an absolute riot. So having a cast and a crew that has a very great sense of humor and we can all laugh and make jokes together is just really amazing.
Now, hearing Alex describe the show and even tell you a little bit about doing a little taping, what's your thoughts as the producer? I'm pretty sure you're the producer of this said show.
Yes, sir. The novelty on this show for me, from my perspective, is in regards to the fact that we're outdoors, and then also just coming back from COVID. I think that all of us collectively, regardless of what we're into or what our day jobs are, we've had a little bit of trauma from this experience. These 18 months or whatever that count is on the calendar, yep, has been more than enough. And I work in other venues and whatnot, and I've seen folks just come out. You know, people are just happy to get out now, you know, and it seems as though we're doing it the right way because people are getting out and there aren't really a lot of super spreader events. So I'm really happy that we're able to do this outdoors kind of as a way to start the fires going again, as I was saying before, at Massasoit Theater. And but also to give the students the outdoor experience and also the audience. You know, for those of us who might be a little gun-shy of coming in and sitting inside with an audience again, being outdoors hopefully will allow people the freedom from any COVID anxiety to just sit down and laugh and enjoy a show. As Alex was saying, it is a funny show. Oscar Wilde, as we know, is a genius writer. But for the students in this process, it has been great to watch. And that's where I get my joy. Is facilitating good talent, mm-hmm, and students. And I'm looking at you and pointing at you as you yourself was once upon a time one of those students, and then to see them fly and flourish with that. And our goal is, I always say that if students don't do well and progress beyond Massasoit, then we're not doing our jobs. And as you have and many others have after you, I expect the same for Alex. We're having a great conversation on the way over here about jobs in the field and how, and he mentioned the term being a jack of all trades, as you know, is kind of a necessity, mm-hmm, in order to make your way, whether you're working at a cable access station or you're on a radio station or you're doing podcasts or you're learning how to set up events. In a more industrial setting, mm-hmm, having those talents are things that you learn at Massasoit. Whether you're working in the theater, the television, and the radio, and basically in the fine arts building, you learn those basics that you can then turn around into hopefully more gainful employment.
Again, we're speaking with Mark Rocheteau and Alex Barros, and we're talking a little bit about the importance of earnest. And this is going to be hitting the stage October 22nd through 24th, 7 p.m. start.
Start
when the door opens. When the curtain goes up, the invisible curtain goes up.
It's a 7 p.m. start. This is as soon as it gets dark enough, we're going with it.
And if you want to, you can pay $10 cash or check at the door.
Yes, at the door.
Mm-hmm. My favorite number, 508-427-1234. Again, 508-427-1234, or you go to the website massasoit.edu/box office.
That is correct, and I have to stress that we unfortunately are not taking online credit card purchases for this. Basically, when you go online, you make a reservation of the day that you want to come attend and how many, and we will get back to you with a confirmation email. And that way, so when you show up to the show, you just pay the cash or check.
So when I'm thinking of the topography of the college and the campus itself.
Yes, sir.
Where?
So for those of us who know, by the satellite dish right outside the Fine Arts Building. And that is and so by so
I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because I was thinking that. I'm like, oh, nah, they wouldn't do it there.
But. Yeah, we are doing it there.
Okay.
So out of the Fine Arts Building on the interior side, so you have the parking lot side.
Correct.
You have the interior side. And that is kind of a point where you have the Humanities LA building and the Science building is to your right. So it's kind of like a four corners of buildings there.
Yeah.
Right there in the middle, there are three cement platforms. And what our technical director, Nathan Fogg, has done is he bridged the gap between the platforms with decking.
Nice.
And we've put we've dressed the set, shall we say. And we in those areas that the platforms originally designated of three different areas, we have three different play spaces. Oh. And so as you face those platforms from the with the theater or with the Fine Arts Building behind you, is going to be the seating gallery. In between that and basically what we call the bush. And there will be about 50 seats that we can put out there. And then behind that is we erected some scaffolding. And we have the tech booth there with some lighting and whatnot and a little bit of sound.
Okay, yeah, that's my next question. This is what are you doing for lighting? Lighting is going to be, if you're having it at 7, now if it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, well, it's different.
Yeah, lighting's not happening.
Right.
But so basically we set up a nice little wash with some LED. Thank you very much for LED lights because they draw less power. Mm-hmm. And we can basically run like 8 lights off of one outlet. So we're really happy about that. And that's about the extent of the tech side where we have the lighting and then we have some sound going on for sound effects and soundscapes, as we call them.
And some music.
And some pre-show music, yes, yes. Alex has composed some music for this show.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Opportunist, I like it.
Yeah. Hey, you know.
Yeah, drop it while you can. So is this what type of a show is this? When I ask that, I mean, is this a straight dialogue? Is there musical components to it? What is it?
I consider it a classic comedy, classical comedy.
Oh.
In so much as the fact that the genre set that Oscar Wilde comes from.
Yeah.
It's kind of turn of the century.
Yeah.
So it's not a musical. I call it a straight play, but definitely a comedy.
But are there musical moments, Alex?
There are during the scene transitions in the beginning. There's a little song that I put together for the show, just something little to kind of set the mood and set the tone. We're taking this show in sort of a different direction and making it a little more It is a very London, very upper crust kind of feel to it. But we're taking it and making it just a little more. For instance, we have our main song begins in this very classical, harpsichord kind of feel, and then introduces a lovely little trap beat towards the end. It just gives it a different feel, a different tone, different flavor. But yeah, it is very funny. When I first got the script, I saw the title and went, I'm not sure what this is going to be, what it's going to be about. But as I was reading, I was literally laughing out loud and went, okay, well, this is a very, very just well-written script. Mm-hmm. It's very witty.
Who is providing direction for this set show?
Director for said show is Professor Corinne Mason. Who is back at the helm of the directorial role? And
was this show her picking? Was it by committee? How did that happen?
So Corinne and I collaborate on show choices, especially for those that we want to focus for our student ensemble. So we try to do two shows a year that we involve mostly students in or alumni, and. Corinne and I have been working together. Well, she's been on now for 5 years on full time.
Time is flying.
So when we went into COVID, we kind of had to re-examine. We did some video work last year, where we produced some dramatic pieces for the students via video, and then we kind of felt our way in regards to coming out of COVID and trying to again reestablish. Perform and in-person performance.
Very nice.
Yes.
And how do you feel that it has come together and become cohesive, because I think that every show has its certain times.
Sure.
When it'll bond.
Yeah, so we're actually in that process now where I call it the getting past the wet pancake, where where a show is like, you know, that pancake, you serve it, you can cut into it, and it's a little runny on the inside.
Yeah.
But we have been very fortunate. Corinne is a cornerstone in that. Nathan, as our technical director, is a cornerstone as well, where our production value is high. And usually what we end up serving up is well done and well prepared. And I'm very, very excited about that. We had such a great momentum before the shutdown, you know, and coming out of it is just something that we've anticipated, and I'm really excited about. We also are doing something smaller in December on the stage, which would be we did this intentionally, again, coming out of COVID, where we picked something that was a radio classic, a radio player's format. So actors could socially distance on stage and be not so integrated as you would with a full-on dramatic piece. And we'll be auditioning that on this coming Sunday. We're closing Ernest, and we'll be auditioning the next show.
Okay. I wouldn't be doing my job.
Okay.
If I didn't make sure I'm providing all the variables.
Okay.
You're not doing an inside show. You're not doing something. You're doing, it's outside.
This is correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you're doing an ENG type of a thing like this, where it's outside, right? Mm-hmm. You can't control the sound.
Correct.
Can't control the weather.
Correct.
Can't control the lighting. Is there a set plan if, in fact, Mother Nature intervenes?
So the plan at the moment is such that, and one of the reasons why we did not do credit card purchases, because it would be easier for us
refund.
To, we're not even taking money until they come to the door.
Okay.
So that there was that. And basically the thought is that if we do have a rain, if it looks, and thank God for a 10-day forecast and all that. So if it looks like a one-time washout, then we would hope to try to reschedule folks to one of the other shows. If we get two in a row, then we'll drop down to the next weekend.
Okay.
And at the moment, that's the plan. So we actually have a Thursday performance during the day for our New Heights Charter School students. That will be kind of like our final dress. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday evening. So yeah. So if we get washed out, we'll try to move the audience. And then if it's two shows, then we'll definitely drop down to the next weekend.
Again, you're listening to Mark Rashto, Alex Barros from Massasoit Community College, the theater company. Any last words, Alex, as we wrap up our segment?
Yeah, I would just say that this show is coming out of COVID and coming out of a time where things were very difficult for a lot of people, and there was not really any theater or art going on. This show is a perfect refresher and a perfect way to kind of get back into that. It's very funny. It's a very light show. And I think that a lot of people love it. So, yeah.
Mr. Rashto, final words.
To dovetail on what Alex was saying in regards to the comedy of the show, you know, laughter is the best medicine. And I think that we all could use a little bit of that in our lives now, having collectively gone through what we just did the last 18 months. Mm-hmm. And the importance of being earnest will definitely deliver for you.
May the cast, and all those who are participating in making this hopefully a successful 3-day event, may you all break a leg in a, you know, the sense of the word, good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for coming in. We are going to step aside, and it's time now for the final segment of Monday Night Talk. No, don't fear not. It'll be a good segment, because we have Tina Cardozo. She's joining us. What's your vote for mayor? I'm just going to talk a little bit about the city of Brockton. Coming up in just a moment here on 95.9 WABC.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Join Peter Evers for the Bamsey Buzz this Sunday morning at 11 here on 95.9 WATD.
I often think of
Coming to work at BAMSEY is not necessarily coming to do a shift on a Thursday night, but to a place that cares about our employees' past, their present, and their future, and that we really want to invest in you, and you will invest in us.
That's the BAMSEY Buzz this Sunday morning at 11 here on 95.9 WATD.
If you want a drink, that's your business. If you want to stop, that's for Alcoholics Anonymous.
AA is an inclusive fellowship of individuals all around the world. The one thing you need to ask yourself is, am I ready to do something about my drinking problem? For more information, literature, and videos about Alcoholics Anonymous, go to AA.org. To find a meeting near you, call 617-426-9444 or visit aaboston.org.
You like my new car?
Well, I like that new car smell. What is that infernal binging?
Oh, it's part of the driver assist. Standard equipment nowadays.
Assist?
Yeah, watch.
Hey, cut that. You're way too close.
Yeah, it's telling me that. See the text?
Watch out.
What was that?
You were driving too close. That truck snapped back a rock.
And now I have a cracked windshield?
You know, your mother was a way better driver assist.
Please. Kindly check your windshield.
I'm Peter Brown from Tiny & Sons Glass. We replace your windshield and insurance pays. 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call. And thank you.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Okay, welcome back for the final segment of Monday night. And as we get to close out the program, a quick note, there are some races, local races that are taking place, especially in the city of Brockton, as their city elections are, I want to say it's merely, like 2 weeks left for city elections. Joining us right now is at-large councilor in Brockton and candidate for mayor, Tina Cardoso. Tina has been on the program prior. She was actually on prior to the city preliminary, and she is one of two candidates on the ballot come November. Tina, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for having me. It was a pleasure being on last time. It was a great show, and I look forward to tonight's conversation.
So here you are, one of two individuals who are on the ballot for votes for folks to vote for. Come November, give me your thoughts as to being at this point, because for you, it isn't just you running for office, but you're also serving as a city councilor and you know, answering phone calls on a daily basis for residents in need.
Right, exactly. So double the work, right?
Yes.
But we can say the same for the mayor as well. And there has been a lot of issues in the city, Kevin, that we've had to deal with recently. So, you know, city council doesn't stop. So we have to continue to make sure that we're doing our work on the council, tackle some of the issues that we've had, especially around some the uptick in the violence and, you know, and run a campaign. So it's been a lot of work. It's been very busy, very challenging, but I'm getting through. I'm feeling good. There's a lot of support in the community as well. So that certainly helps.
What would you say? What are some of the pressing issues that the city council has been handling as of late, whether it's something that's been ongoing or maybe some new issues that have popped up that the council is discussing?
Well, we discussed definitely the issues of the uptick in the violence have been at the forefront for me as a nonprofit leader and a nurse and someone who really is has deep roots in the community. But on the council, on top of business as usual, we've been discussing a lot around the ARPA funds, the American Rescue Plan dollars that are coming into the city. And I filed a resolution to have the mayor in front of us to talk about prioritizing those funds for violence prevention efforts. And that's been an ongoing discussion. Some of those funds are being used in other areas to fund contracts and, you know, for COVID, some COVID related issues, but really trying to get the mayor to commit to using those funds for violence prevention, more youth programs, mental health services, those types of different areas of need in the city.
Do you feel that those are desperately that they're actually lacking is having enough for the youth or assisting the youth when
Absolutely.
It comes to this?
Absolutely. And I've always, being someone, again, I have my own nonprofit that provides evidence-based, culturally appropriate violence prevention education. You know, we do mental health awareness in the Cape Verdean, Haitian, Latino communities, making sure that we have folks from the community running those programs in languages that people speak. So I have a lot of experience in this area because I've been doing this work for some time. And I've been a strong advocate on the council to prioritize this work and to, you know, prioritize youth programs. We're in desperate need of better, more playable fields. I think you and I talked about this a little bit last time, and you know, youth sports complex and more after school programs, jobs, and just more supportive social emotional support for youth. And so early on, before the ARPA funds came out, I filed a resolution for us to put together a strategic plan to tackle youth programs in the city, to increase youth programs. And actually, we appropriated funds to the mayor, $100,000 a few months ago, for him to do that and to set up a committee so that we could begin to have those conversations. And we haven't seen much progress from this administration around youth programs. And in fact, we just lost the social service director that's was there for three administrations. And so she's gone. And so it's made it more challenging in this time where we really need to beef up social services and mental health services and youth services. We lose our director. And that's just one of many positions that we have lost under this administration. So it's been a bit frustrating, but we continue to, you know, advocate for the mayor to use these dollars to fund youth and mental health services in the city, because there's just a dire need for it, as evidenced by the uptick in the violence.
And you talk about violence. I mean, the most recent that comes to mind for, I think, many folks was in the news regarding an individual who was involved, ended up shooting. Not only did law enforcement find an individual in a vehicle who had been shot, but a police officer also had been shot.
Yes. And I just came from that wake yesterday, and it was just devastating to watch that mom mourn her son. We don't have all the details. It's still an ongoing investigation. But the way that it was handled for me, I thought could have been handled properly. We had a news conference around it, but no mention of the youth that was killed. I went to the vigil the day after the shooting, and there was no one from the city there. There was no trauma response. And I just feel like we need to do better. There were young folks at that scene that witnessed a lot of the folks mourning this person, and no one was helping them to process what they were witnessing. And so I've always asked for us to look at a trauma response team like we have in other major cities. So when something like this happens, we have mental health clinicians and other folks available to help people process, not just young folks, older folks too. What is going on? How can, you know, do you need help? Here are the resources that are available. And this, I was just discouraged that there was really no one at the scene to help folks, you know, process what was happening.
You mentioned about the uptick in the violence, especially in the youth area. And I think not only is Brockton seeing it, but I believe I've seen news stories that other gateway cities like Lawrence has experienced it, especially in the high schools, where there's a lot of angst and anger. You feel that putting money towards that to help with the situation would be best fitted?
Absolutely. We definitely have to do something. And Brockton High is a big school, one of the biggest in the Commonwealth. And so I think it's time we put together, look at, you know, a comprehensive plan for how we're going to keep the teachers. The teachers are feeling unsafe as well, and the students safe at that school. As mayor, I would look to working with Mike Thomas closely. We work closely now on other projects in the city. And like I think I mentioned before, we hired a diversity, equity, and inclusion director and assistant director recently that are going to be doing some outreach to more grassroots organizations in the community and other stakeholders. I think if we all work closely together, that we can come up with a plan to keep our kids and our teachers safe at school.
And we can kind of talk about other items and issues. I know that you were part of an informational session that was held recently at the Arnone School. And I think you did it along with the Ward 3 counselor, Dennis Ianeri.
Yeah.
And this is in regards to Father Bill's Mainspring. We know that they do a lot when it comes to helping folks who are in need of shelter and in need of items. And this had to do with a Title V property. Give us some details on that.
So it was a great meeting. And as you know, Kevin, homelessness has been a big issue in the city for a long time. And people have talked about Father Bill's in that area where it's located for a long time, in moving folks and, you know, sort of depopulating that area. So this is a plan to depopulate that area and to move folks to a different area where they're safer, where they have more wraparound services. I thought it was a great meeting. There are folks that, you know, feel that we can't put band-aids on homelessness and that we really have to do something to end homelessness. And I totally agree with that. But from what I heard last evening, this was going to be a good situation for the folks that are experiencing homelessness, which are mostly individual males that make up a large portion of folks that are homeless. And so the services that they talked about are services that they will have access to 24 hours a day. So they wouldn't have to leave and come back. You know how some shelters you have to leave at a certain time and then come back. They wouldn't have to do that in this scenario. They could stay there and have access to those services right on the property. So I think that it's a good, we'd have to learn more still because they're still in very early stages. They don't even have the funding to do this just yet. They're going based on a model that they have in Quincy, a similar model. And to me, I thought it was a good fit. I'm all about the wraparound services, making sure people are getting the services that they need. But I also ask questions about their commitment to ending homelessness. And they're very committed to doing that with the Housing First program and making sure that they have more permanent supportive housing for folks. So Father Bill's is committed to doing that. And I'm hoping that this would sort of ease a lot of the concerns people have about that area and how, you know, densely populated that area is, and the concerns that people have around the supportive services that are needed for the folks that are experiencing homelessness.
Just tuning in, we are speaking with Atina Cardozo. She is an at-large counselor in the city of Brockton. She's also a mayoral candidate on the ballot to come November. And we're just getting caught up on some of the things that are ongoing. I know during the pandemic, and I know that you are someone who has championed the cause when it comes to local business and helping them, especially during the pandemic. Do you feel that a lot of local businesses and folks who own mom and pop stores and restaurants have rebounded well, or are you still kind of looking into how they have suffered because of COVID?
So I got to tell you, Kevin, I'm one that visits mostly all of the local businesses to get everything that I need, you know, between food and, you know, going to the hair salons or, you know, the auto bodies or all of that. So I've been making my rounds, and there's still a lot that needs to be done to support our local businesses. A lot of the folks that didn't qualify for federal funding are still hurting. A lot of the restaurants haven't come back fully. A lot of the hair salons, nail shops, stuff like that. I mean, we're rebounding a little bit, but there are still concerns because we don't know what's going to happen when flu season comes, or COVID numbers have risen, you know, a bit as well. And, you know, and folks are going back to wearing masks, and the mandates and all of that are being discussed. So there's still a lot of uncertainty. So I don't think we can breathe just yet. I don't think that businesses are feeling, you know, that they're 100% rebounded just yet. I think a lot of them are happy that they're back to business, but they're still hoping that the city will do more to support them financially so that they can really get a boost up this next year. So I'm hoping that some of the work that I've done, I think we discussed it in the past, was to advocate for a small business technical support person. We have that person that's working for the BRA. We've had some discussions on a council around supporting businesses more and being more business friendly in the city. But I just feel like there's way more that can be done. And as mayor, that's going to be on the top of my priorities, making sure we support small businesses so that we can, you know, create jobs, more jobs in the city. Because if we support small businesses, we can actually create more jobs for our residents.
I would ask you this, and I know on the South Shore, a lot of the restaurants, some of them haven't come back because of the biggest problem is that a lot of the folks who worked in the industry realize that, well, maybe they want to move on to another industry. Have you noticed that any Brockton businesses are suffering from that as well?
Definitely, especially waitresses, bartenders, folks to work in the hair industry, the barbershops, a lot of those folks. And we did have a period where people were getting some funding, some stimulus. And so I have a feeling that they will start to see an increase again with those jobs. But they are hurting. A lot of folks that I've talked to, they're advertising, but they're not getting applicants in, you know, the way that they would like. So
if you will, let's transition to talking a little bit about the campaign trail. How has the campaign trail been for you? What has it been like in really increasing the door knocking and getting out and talking to folks about the importance of your campaign and you being the next mayor?
It's been good, but thanks to folks like yourself who have invited me to the radio, to television programs, folks on social media, those platforms. So those platforms have been key to me getting out my message. I'm looking forward to a couple of forums, mayoral forums and debates that are coming up. And so that's going to help more. But as far as door knocking, because of COVID, there's been a reluctance to from volunteers to really door knock. So and just because people have gone through some tough times, you know, with the whole COVID, the volunteer door knocking effort hasn't been like I've seen. I've been, you know, I ran in Ward 3 in 2017, where there was a lot more excitement. And then in 2019, definitely a very exciting election year where a lot of people came out to volunteer. But this year, because of COVID, I think there's been a little lag. But as far as phone banking, that's been stronger for us, the phone banking effort. And again, using platforms like social media and the radio, the talk shows, that's been very, very helpful. So I thank you very much. I thank all of you folks that are making an effort. We had a candidate forum on BCA as well, our local cable. So those efforts have really helped us to get information out as candidates.
And was that did you have your first mayoral forum and were you able to talk, or you just been able just to sit in front of the camera and talk one on one?
Right, just sit in front of the camera for now. So the first debate, we're going to have one on the 27th, I think your radio station, actually.
WATV,
and
yeah.
And there's one on the 28th with NAACP. There's actually one on the 22nd as well with the Chamber of Commerce. So just different folks asking us to come out to speak, you know, at churches. We've been to, you know, a few churches, also social gatherings have been really good for me, you know, turning out to certain events, parties, and social gatherings, talking to folks, people inviting me over to different birthday parties or, you know, things of that nature. So we had to sort of think outside the box on how we're going to reach the most people in a short amount of time during this campaign. But I think I've been everywhere. So I think people, they know I'm running, they know what I'm running on. And I just have a feeling we're going to see better turnout for general election than we did in the primaries, which are really low turnout.
I was going to actually ask you that, because it's the one thing that's kind of concerned me over the past several years when it comes to the city elections, and that is voter apathy. Mm-hmm. And it, sometimes I feel as though it can be a blessing, it could be a curse, depending on, you know, who the candidate is. Does right. that concern you at all, that the folks you're talking to, people like, oh yeah, I'm going to get out and I'm going to vote for you, and then, you know, then the numbers aren't what you, they're not as robust as you would expect?
Right. Well, definitely in this community, we have to pull people out. The field work is so important. I mean, getting people to the polls is so important. We have a lot of elderly in this community, and a lot of them don't have folks to support them with voting. Some of them don't read, don't write. I've talked to folks who, you know, have visual issues and all of that. So definitely, if you don't go in and offer the assistance and pull them out, you could see low turnouts. And then we have a large immigrant community. Some folks have difficulty, you know, with the language and just not knowing where to vote, where is their polls, how to look it up, that type of thing. So it's definitely a challenging community for voting. We really have to work hard, and that's for all candidates, not just, you know, we all have to work hard in this community to get out the vote. But the other thing that I see, Kevin, is from folks, I hear that, you know, nothing's changing. So they're not trusting that candidates will offer things and promise things and then nothing changes. And so that stagnation that we're seeing is really causing people to say, hey, I'm not going to vote because nothing's going to change. So I'm trying to offer hope to people that there will be change. I'm not an establishment candidate. You know, I'm a people's candidate, and just hopefully offering them something different, you know, a breath of fresh air, not connected to any special interest. You know, I'm a nurse. I'm a nonprofit leader. I have deep roots in the community. I know the community well. So I'm hoping that a lot of folks will come out because it's offering them some kind of hope that this is a different politician that they're used to seeing.
And if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Tina Cardoso, and she is a candidate for mayor in the city of Brockton, the city of champions. We're talking a little bit about her campaign at this particular time. You mentioned other races. I'm sure, I mean, you're really super focused on your own, but I'm sure that you got to be giving a little side glance to the city council and maybe the school committee and maybe watching some races with a little bit of interest, because, you know, if you're successful come November, these are individuals that you're going to be working with, whether it's chairing the school committee or working with, you know, the city council members to put together the next budget.
Right, right. And I'm excited that we have a very diverse pool of folks running this time. I think it's the most diverse that we've seen in ages. And we have a couple young folks running. So that's very exciting. I think in Ward 2, I want to say one of the candidates, she's maybe 25, and in Ward 7 around that same age. So that's exciting that we don't have all older candidates. And so I think that things are changing. People are paying attention more in the community, and each candidate brings out their vote. They bring out their folks. So that's exciting too. So, you know, when people call me to ask, hey, should I run? I have a couple candidates that, oh, hey, should I jump in? I always say yes, because, you know, when you run, everyone brings something different to the table, brings up different issues. We bring in our people, you know, your base, you keep the base mobilized and motivated. And so I think it's a good thing. I think there's a lot of excitement. I just think, again, we have to do a lot of work this year, more than previous years, because of the pandemic. I think it really set us back. So the candidates really need to work hard to get out the vote this year.
I would ask you this, knowing that, like, before the preliminary, I'm sure you had folks who, you know, were conservative in saying what they felt some of the important issues are. But since you are on the ballot for the general election, that those concerns are even louder now, and people are even a little bit more stronger in asking you to look in and put, you know, focus on certain issues. Is there anything that has resonated with you about any of the issues that residents really care about?
Absolutely. Transparency. People are feeling they're not having a voice in government and that they're not being included in big decisions, just like the large appropriation that we voted for the public safety complex. That was a hot ticket item. And people are still talking about that, that there wasn't enough input into that appropriation. People are talking about property taxes. Absolutely. They're just so afraid that their taxes continue to climb and we're not generating new revenue, looking for new sources of revenue. And then the water bill is always an issue. You know, I was one of three councilors to vote against an increase in the water bill, and I voted against increase in property taxes. I think we need to really look at generating new revenue. Code enforcement is a huge deal, and a lot of folks talk about that. And I think we really need a centralized process for code enforcement. A lot of the abandoned properties, I think we talked about it in the past, how we're just not collecting the fines that we need, and maybe we should look at auctioning them off so that we can clean up the city and then bring in new businesses. So people are really, really concerned about where we're headed in Brockton. We know that rent is sky high. The housing prices are sky high and people can't afford to live here anymore. So there's an urgent need for new leadership here. I think the administration has shown that they just do not have a handle on what is important to the people in this ever-changing community here in Brockton. And I think that being someone that has experienced a lot of these issues myself with trying to make ends meet and just being deeply rooted here, I have firsthand experience. And I've actually try to do something about it through my nonprofit work, through the Health Equity Task Force that, you know, I championed during the pandemic, trying to make sure small businesses were supported. So I have a clear record of understanding the needs in the community and a plan for how, you know, we're going to tackle some of those issues. So, people are really, Kevin, to your point, really talking about, unlike in the past where, you know, folks maybe talked a little bit about public safety and all of that, they're really concerned. You can sense the urgency when you talk to them about wanting new leadership because they're just disappointed in where we're headed in Brockton.
Yes, we just have a couple of minutes left until we wrap up not only this segment, but the radio show. Anything that we haven't touched upon, but you want to take a moment to say something? And while you're doing that, if folks want to find out more, if they want to get involved with your campaign or just want to reach out, how can you do that? So it's a two-part question.
So one thing we didn't talk about is as mayor, we have to look at making sure that every decision that we make is based on some ethical principles of governing, because concerns around transparency are real in this city. People are tired of the pay-to-play politics, the special interest groups. It's really holding us back. They want to make sure that their money is going to where it needs to go and that we're being transparent and that everything that we do in government is based on ethical principles of governing. So as mayor, I would like to establish an ethics committee to make sure that everything that we do is grounded in ethics, and that there's an open and honest government, and people know exactly where their monies are going, because, you know, looking at where we're at and looking at all the funding that's come into the city, the ARPA funds that are coming, you know, the infrastructure money that's coming, we want to make sure those dollars are being spent wisely, and we want to make sure we have someone in a position of leadership that understands what the needs of the community are so that we can prioritize those funds. And I think I'm that candidate because, I just have deep roots here in the city and I understand a lot of the needs of the people in this community. If folks want to reach out to me, they can visit tinaforbrockton.com, and that's F-O-R, tinaforbrockton.com is my website. I'm on Facebook, Tina for Brockton, and they can email me at tina4brockton@gmail.com.
Tina, I want to thank you so much for joining me this evening and helping us close out this program on a strong note. And we look forward to seeing you on the 27th, you and your opponent, as we talk about the city of Brockton, the issues, and the person who's going to look to be the next mayor of the City of Champion. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin. It's always a pleasure.
And to folks, that's I'm sorry, that's all the time that they gave me. I wish they gave me more. But until next week at 6:15 p.m., I promise we'll be back and we'll talk more. Have yourself a great night. You're tuned in to 95.9 WATD.